all God's people said, amen. Now, I've taught you before, you need to mix it up when you say amen. It's not just amen, but there's hallelujah, there's praise the Lord, there's glory to God, and a number of other things. So I'm going to give you one more chance. And all God's people said,
glory.
All right, good. You need to mix it up because we tend to get into ruts, and we don't want anybody in a rut. A rut is a routine that you get into and you can't get out of anymore. If any of you haven't noticed, I'm getting older, and I almost lost my voice in the first service, so it's probably going to fade during this service as well. But as I get older, I don't hear as well as I used to, and I thought it was odd this morning when Pastor Paul got up and was giving the announcements. He said, I want all of you to stand up and find someone and bite them. I want to see the video, because I was sure he said bite them, and my wife said, no, invite them. And then when they started the song, they said, this is the air I breathe. I thought I heard this is the hair I weave. It's just a part of getting older. So if you're hearing strange things, you're in good company. Well, we appreciate the worship, especially that number, this is the air I breathe. As we were singing that song, I was seeing the images of the Chronicles of Narnia. Remember the movie? The movie really depicts it in a wonderful way. The frozen world and the Aslan, who represents Christ coming back, and the world warming with spring and summer again as people's hopes were raised within them. And as I was praying through that song and saying, Lord, breathe on us. Bring back the King. Let us know your presence. Lord, come in your presence, and your presence warms every cold heart. Your presence melts the heart of stone. Your presence is what we need. And it's His presence that we will get when we walk into heaven in all of its fullness and glory. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in Ephesians. Ephesians is that wonderful book that the Apostle Paul wrote to that church that's very much like any church in our day. Churches that grow cold and lose what God wants them to do and lose focus. And he's calling them back to attention. First of all, in the first chapter, he's talking about all the blessings that are ours in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He lists 10 of them. Wonderful blessings that God has given to us. His focus is on Jesus. And then we got to the last part of those 10 blessings. We talked about the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit. And we said we're going to be taking off on that and using Ephesians as a springboard to thematically go through Ephesians and talk about all the things Paul talks about as the Holy Spirit's ministry. And I've given you a list of 7. There are more than 7. I can't fit them all on the page here. But the seal of the Holy Spirit that we talked about, and God sealing people to Christ, and the grieving of the Holy Spirit, how we step on His toes sometimes and He is sad, and we need to make those things right. This morning we're dealing with quickening of the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the inhabiting of the Spirit, and a whole lot more. Now some of you are saying, we're never going to get through with Ephesians. And I say, so what? It's the Word of God, and if you have to spend a day or a century on it, I mean, it's plenty of time. The Lord's not going to let you die until we get finished, okay? There's so much riches, and we're not just staying with Ephesians, but we use that as a springboard to declare the whole counsel of God. So it's Paul opening a door, and then we can see all of Scripture as pertains to that issue. And this is true of the quickening of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to speak of today. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. Now, those of you that have your hopes up that we somehow jumped from verse 14 to chapter 2, verse 1, we did, but we left out a prayer in there. We're going to come back to that after we finish all the Holy Spirit stuff. But we want to focus on this because this is chronologically what Paul is doing as he refers to the Holy Spirit. First of all, the sealing, and then we jump to grieving the Holy Spirit because I sense that God wanted us to do that. And then we talked about this. Then we're talking this morning about the quickening or the making alive that takes place by the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain a little later why I'm using the word quickening in that. I'm going to read from the NIV version. Excuse me. It's verses 1 to 5, Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Why don't you just stop for a moment? You means Ewans. Y'all. It means every one of us. And he's pointing the finger at you individually and saying, you, before you came to Christ, were absolutely, positively, without any doubt, dead in your trespasses and sins. There was no life in you. spiritually. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That is, you followed Satan, and whose spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. You see, we were depraved. We just did what we wanted to do. We had no knowledge of God, no desire to serve Him. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And that's where he uses the word quickening. Quickened us. Made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we open the Word today, we want you to minister to our hearts. We're not here to hear a homily or a little sermonette. Lord, we want you to be our teacher. We want you to instruct us and open our eyes to see things that are truths in your Word, and then to be able to apply them to our hearts. So I pray that, Lord. I pray for your anointing upon this preacher and upon every ear that hears. May it receive the Word that comes from your Holy Spirit to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to note, first of all, about this quickening of the Holy Spirit, that it is the work of God the Father to quicken. The quickening Spirit. We talked before about the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity, but they're all one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 21, Jesus says, as the Father quickens or wakes up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens or makes alive whomever He will. So He includes the Father quickens, and then the Son quickens. That is, the Father makes people alive, the Son makes people alive. They have the same ministry and the same work. Now He speaks to the Spirit in chapter 6 of John. Jesus, again referring to the Holy Spirit, says, it is the Spirit who quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So He includes the Spirit of God and then the Word of God, which is this Word, that is able to build you up and give you salvation in Jesus Christ. But it is the Spirit of God that we're focusing on. The Spirit of God makes alive. And I want to talk about several things this morning as we look at the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And I'm using a word that's unusual to some of you that didn't grow up with King James. But I'm going to King James-ize you this morning because I think it's a weird word that you can remember. Not a great word, but it's a weird word. And weird words we remember. We're going to talk about the meaning of quickening, the kinds of quickening, and then the results of quickening. First of all, let me talk to you about the meaning of quick. In the King James Version, they were searching for a word that was a close match with the original Greek word. And the word make alive is really two words that were trying to describe one Greek word. And so they looked for a word and they said, well, quickening is that. But in our day, because the English language changes, quick doesn't mean that anymore. We think of Quaker Quick Oats, or we think of Quick Draw McGraw. Remember the old cowboys? They were quick draws. I want you to do that with me this morning. This is going to quicken you. This is going to wake you up. All right, I've got my gun on my holster, and you've got your gun on your holster. And to be really quick, you have to reach for the gun, pull it out of the holster, and then shoot ahead. All right, I want everybody to do this. If you don't do it, you're going to come up, and you're my next illustration. All right, so I want you to do this. You need to understand what quick is all about. So I want you to, you got to do all the motions. You cannot just go, you got to go reach down, pull it out of your holster and bring it forward and aim it. Or you're going to shoot the guy in front of you. You got to aim it at me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? When I go for my holster, you go for yours. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Ready? Go. Oh, you're so quick. Wow. You like that. You like that. Are we getting all this on camera? You got to take pictures of them, too. All right, here we go. This time, I'm going to go fast. I'm going to go quick. Are you ready? You didn't see it, did you? I already shot you. All right, here we go. Remember, you got to do the full motion. You can't take it from your holster straight up like this. You've got to pull it out, move it forward, then shoot. Okay, are you ready? You got to sit down.
Shoot the guy in the head, but shoot around him.
Bang, you're dead.
Oh, my brothers and I did that so often. I was fast draw, man, and you can't beat me. I'm quick. We're talking about the quickening of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean the fast stuff of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean he's quick. It doesn't mean he's quick draw McGraw. It's talking about making alive, but it has an idea there that needs to be conveyed. In the New Testament, the original language being written in was Greek, and that is different than our English language. It's much richer, and they have words that mean, we can only define them with several words, like make alive. And so the word is zoopoeo, which means an animal coming to life, or a live animal, or to bring to life, or to animate. If something is dead, and then it is given life. That is the idea of quickening. Now, as I thought about this, I had an illustration. I even had it in the PowerPoint, and then I pulled it off because I thought, nah, it's too crass. But I'm going to give it anyway. Many of you grew up in the era that I grew up, and I grew up watching strange movies. And when we were little, one of the movies was Frankenstein's Monster. How many of you have ever watched Frankenstein? Well, some of you have watched it. Some of the younger ones have no clue what we're talking about. Frankenstein's Monster was that ridiculous-looking critter that, well, let me explain it this way. Mom and Dad never let us watch those horror movies. But Mom and Dad had to go get groceries every Saturday, and they weren't about to take six kids with them. So we stayed at home with the pledge that we wouldn't watch TV, and guess what we watched? Frankenstein and all the other things that are on the TV, the movies that were there and we weren't allowed to. And Frankenstein was one of them, and it sticks in my mind because it illustrates so much this idea of quickening. And here the story is that this mad professor, Mr. Frankenstein, is creating a being. He wants to be like God, and so he takes the parts of body parts that are in the cemetery, he puts them all together and builds this great big guy. And you remember him, flat head sewn across here. He's got a scar down his face. He's got two probes that come out his neck, and he's really big. I mean, great big guy, big shoulders, long legs, and he walks like he's got bricks in the back of, on the bottom of his feet, and he's kind of like this. But he didn't walk. He was dead. Dr. Frankenstein puts him on this great big table with the idea that I'm going to do it. I'm going to make life. I am going to take this dead man and I'm going to turn him into alive. Yes. And so he works at it. He sets up his electronics and he gets the probes and he contacts it on the side of the head. And he gets all of it cranked up and he gets all of his capacitors going at full capacity. And there's a storm outside and he's going, yes, yes. I'm going to bring life. And then he zaps this body, Frankenstein, with all the juice that he has, and all the wheels are spinning, and all the gears are going and everything, and it's going, and then the lightning strikes, and gives even more jolts of electricity, and comes down, and boom, and poor Frankenstein sitting there on the table, and he's going, and then when the electric stops, you see a movement, his fingers. And pretty soon his arms move, and he moves off the table, and he starts to walk. Now, he's not a good walker, but he's learning. He's stumbling along, and Dr. Frankenstein's over in the corner, and he's going, and this is the great quote that I remember. It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! Always wanted to do that. But Dr. Frankenstein illustrates for us this idea of quickening. And I think there's some good things that come out of those movies because it helps us to understand Scripture. When it says this, it does because we don't understand on our own. Don't allow your kids to watch it anyway. But if I said to you, zoopoeo, you wouldn't get it. But if I illustrate Frankenstein, you get it. You get it? So God is bringing life, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus and the God the Father are all doing the same work, and that is to bring life where there is no life. We find a verse, King James again, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God, and I love this because I memorize it. That's why I know this. And when I think of quick, I immediately think of this verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is and joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is, this word, the Bible, God says is quick. Doesn't mean fast draw, but it means it's life-giving by the Holy Spirit. That when the word of this life is breathed upon you, not just the book itself, but its words become life as the Spirit of God breathes it into your life, that out of nothing God creates life. That's important for us, and that's the meaning of quick. The second thing I want to talk about is the kinds of quickening, or the kinds of making alive that God does through His Spirit and through the Word. First of all, there is the physical. He brings back to life the physical dead. That is, the quickening refers to the dead that had no life, or the lifeless things that are brought to life. Genesis chapter 1. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Easy to find. It's the first book in the Bible, and the first verse of that book. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Get the picture. The Spirit of God is over this great orb called earth, and He's hovering over. Let me read you the King James Version, because it adds a slight variation to that. And he says it this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Both translations convey the idea that the Spirit of God was moving upon creation, upon the earth. He says the earth was without form and void. I want to show you what the earth would look like if it was without form and void. You got Mars. Mars is a good illustration of a planet that is dead. Now, we'd like to find little green men, but we're only finding a red planet with red soil and no life forms that we know of. So it is a dead place without form or without life. God says earth was like that when God first created it. How He did that, we're not explained, and we're not going to go into delving into speculation. But God created the earth and the heavens, and He said it was without form and void. But then the Spirit of God moved upon this thing. The Spirit of God was part of creation. He took this orb that was just a blob. He took this earth that had no life whatsoever. And He breathed upon it, or He brooded over it. And the word Spirit in the Old Testament means wind. That wind of the Spirit moved upon the earth. And the literal translation here of what He did is He brooded over like a hen broods over her eggs. He fluttered over is another translation. He fluttered over the earth. King James says He moved upon it. And NIV says He was hovering over it. The Spirit of God is responsible for everything you see out here. Every life form that we know comes from the Holy Spirit. So when you get angry that your weeds are growing in your garden, I want you to remember that, yeah, sin brought weeds into the world, but God created all. There wouldn't be a life form at all except the Spirit of God has done it. God's Spirit is the one who brings life out of nothingness. Then I want you to see not only Mars, that orb that was dead, I want you to see what God did to that orb. God took a place like Mars, and He breathed on it by His Holy Spirit. And He created water, and He created land, and He created sky, and He created the rain, He created the seasons, He created every life form that exists. And we stand back at the moon and look back on the earth, and we go, wow, it is the only thing in our visible universe like that we know of. Why? Because God breathed upon it. God hovered over it. God was responsible for bringing life. You see, that's what God does. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Spirit of God does. And that's what the Word of God does. He brings life to things that had no life. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." That brings us to the second thing that the Spirit of God does in quickening. He quickens or makes alive the spiritually dead. When everybody take your right hand, lift it up in the air, and go like this. For those of you listening, I'm wiggling my fingers. Okay. You are not dead, are you? Put your hand down. Now I want you to lift your spiritual hand and wiggle it. I can't. Because we can't see the Spirit.
See, the Spirit is within you. It is the life that God intended for you. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him to forgive your sins and come into your life, God says you're still the way you were when Adam sinned. You lost your life. You're headed for damnation. You're headed for destruction. Every one of us is going to die. I don't care how good you are, how healthy you are. I don't care how many doctors you go to. You are in the process of dying. All of us are. You see, but inside of us is what God is looking at. He wants to create life out of the death that's in us. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. That is, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God brought a curse upon the earth and He brought a curse upon man. He said, you will surely die and you will be headed for destruction. You're headed for damnation. That's a scary thing. That's what it is to be spiritually dead. And when Paul writes to the church in Ephesians chapter 2, he's writing about spiritual life, not physical life. He said, you were dead spiritually to the things of God, to heaven. You were dead. You were on your way to hell. You were following the world's scheme. You were following Satan. You were doing your own thing. And it took God to move upon you as He moved upon the earth to bring you life. God wants to bring life out of nothingness. I want to point you to another Old Testament passage. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 37. Open your Bibles. And I'm going to take the time to read it. And I'm hurrying along because we do have communion service right at the end of our service this morning. But I want to read to you a portion of Ezekiel chapter 37 because it's a wonderful picture. And we understand pictures. It's a picture of a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel is asking God to show him what God sees. And God takes him to a valley, and there's just this valley full of dry, parched bones that are whitewashed by the sun. And God looks at him, and God asks some questions, and here's what he says. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord is upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? What do you think? The valley of dead people, bones, that's all that's left. And God says, can these bones live again? And his response was, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy, speak the word of God to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath, or the word is spirit, enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you, spirit into you, and you will come to life. And you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. And there was no breath in them, no spirit or no life in them. And then he said, prophesy, or speak the word of God, to the breath, or to the wind, to the spirit, the same word. Prophesy, son of man, and say to this, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, O wind, breathe into these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet as a vast army. Do you remember the old Negro spiritual? I love this song, and you can sing it with me. Them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, now dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. The toe bone connected to the foot bone, the foot bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the something else. Now hear the word of the Lord. Leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone. Don't you hear the word of the Lord? Hip bone connected to the backbone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the neck bone. Don't you hear the word of the Lord? Very good. I love that song. It's such a wonderful picture. And what it is, it's singing Ezekiel 37. That there is a valley of dry bones. They can't live. They can't make themselves come to life. They can't respond to anything that God does. It takes God to move upon them for them to come to life. And that's what happened to us in Christ. And Paul wants us to know that in Ephesians chapter 2. That you didn't come to life. You didn't come to God and say, God, make me alive. You were dead bones. You had no life. You had no hunger for God. You had nothing except for the Spirit of God moving upon your heart. And the Spirit of God quickens those that He draws to Christ. He pulls you to Himself. And first it's with a laying on of flesh and then the skin over you. And He says, are they alive? No. They came to church. Are they alive? No. They're still dead.
So prophesy the word to them. And the word prophesies. The word comes forth and God says, I breathed into them through my word. And they stood up. And then I breathed upon them by my word. And they came to life. And you're dead in your trespasses and sins until the Holy Spirit draws you to Christ and gives you faith to believe Him and repent of your sins and receive Him as your Savior. And that moment that you receive Him, it's not by works that you do. It's by His grace that He came to you, wind of the Holy Spirit, quickening you, drawing you to Christ. Let me stop right here. If you have never received Christ personally, you are here today because He is calling you. His Spirit is brooding over you like He did the earth. His Spirit is breathing upon you by the Word of God as He did in Ezekiel, drawing you to Christ, bringing you to the place where you respond and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins, and I ask You to come into my heart and be my Savior. And the moment you do that, boom, the Spirit of God comes into you and gives you a breath of life. He gives you newness of life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. That's what Jesus came to do. He is the life giver. He came that you might have life and abundant, and it's only in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received Him, God says, not me, God says you're dead, you're on your way to hell, and it's just a matter of time till the body wears out and the spirit's going to destruction. So receive the Lord Jesus Christ while there's time. The Spirit of God is moving. He's quickening. You look at that valley of dry bones and you look at your own heart, and you alone can tell whether your spirit has been quickened by the Lord to respond to Jesus Christ. The third thing that He says about this quickening Holy Spirit is that He quickens the feeble and the faint. That is, He quickens and renews life in those who are faint or weary. It actually is an emphasis on this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, in his prayer, he says, I pray that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, there is an inner side of us. Even as believers, we've received Christ. We have newness of life. The Spirit of God dwells in us. He has sealed us by His Holy Spirit. And if we're not grieving Him, He is alive and He's well and He's moving us along. But you know, there's times when we become so overburdened with the cares of this life and things that just kind of wring the life out of us. And even though we're spiritual and we've been made alive, the Spirit of God is squeezed out. And we're tired and we're weary and we're discouraged. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talked about this and he says, for which cause we faint not, even though we have all kinds of trouble. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me give you another scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I'm pulling it up on the screen right now. And he says this in Isaiah chapter 40. He says, He gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait in hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. You see, young people, he says, even the young guys are going to get discouraged. There's times when you get worn out. There's times when you get tired in your spirit and you're discouraged and you're depressed and a lot of other things are going on. What's happening is you're just wringing out all the energy that you have, and the Spirit of God wants to renew that energy. That's the inner man that needs to be renewed. And Paul says it needs to be renewed day by day. Trouble is most of us don't do that. And so God has provided that we should come to Him to be renewed. And He says this in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. The question is, have you waited on the Lord? I want to show you one more verse that's not on the overhead, but it's chapter 40, verse 31. And the chapters and verses were not made by God. Men made those just to divide it up so we could understand. You know, I quoted John 3:16 rather than saying I quoted John somewhere. Or I don't know what it is. And so the chapters aren't there in the original. It just flows. And I think we divided it wrongly here because the theme continues into 41. In chapter 41 of Isaiah, he continues that theme of waiting on the Lord. He says, keep silence before me. Let the people renew their strength. Keep silence before me. Let the people renew their strength. How do you renew your strength when you're worn out? How do you renew that spirit within you when you're tired and you've got a broken spirit? It's by waiting on the Lord. And he gives us the instructions of how to do that. He said, get alone with God. Get silent before the Lord. We're not silent people. We're talkers. We're movers.
we're shakers. It's that very talking and moving and doing that wears us out spiritually. And God wants to recharge our batteries. And he says, that's going to happen when you wait on the Lord in a quiet place. That's why we do our prayer retreats in March. It's the end of next week. And then the following week, we have two prayer retreats. These are quiet prayer retreats. They're not prayer meetings. They are prayer retreats. We coach you to get alone with God. Get alone with His Word and let Him speak to you. It's a time of renewal where you're asking the Lord to recharge the batteries that are in you. You're worn, you're tired, you're discouraged. God says, I know that. Even young men will struggle with that. And they will faint and they'll fall. But those that wait upon me will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Are you faint? Are you tired? The Holy Spirit is given that He might quicken you as you wait on Him. The last one is the Spirit of God moves upon to quicken our mortal bodies. That is, those who are physically sick. In Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks to the church and he says, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and that's right, when you receive Christ, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. God wants you to know that His Spirit will renew our bodies. That when we are sick, we have somewhere we can go with our sickness and present it to the Lord. He quickens our mortal bodies. All of our bodies are eventually going to die. I mean, I only have one. But all of our bodies, all the bodies that are here are eventually going to die. I want all the young people to know that. Look at the person next to you. Look at him. Look at him. Ooh, you're going to die. Our son was that way. He was so honest to people. We went to an airport once. And he turned to a man that was in the airport smoking, and he walked up to him and he just said, you're going to die. Probably a shock. The guy was never told that before. But all of these bodies are going to wear out. It's natural. It's what part of God's creation, what He made. It's going to be renewed. It's going to be renewed in heaven. But God wants times of refreshing where He renews this body in the middle of your years. Does that mean He's going to heal you of all your diseases all the time? No, because then you grow old and wrinkled and stinky and everything else, and you keep on living and living and living. And I'll tell you, I don't want to be 103. Most of you want to be 103? I don't want to be 103. I want to live out my life to its fullest and say, Lord, I'm coming home. God has ordained that something of disease would take us home to heaven, and that's normal. But in the meantime, there is work to do. There is life to be performed. And God wants us to have health. He wants to touch our bodies by His Spirit and to renew us. Is He going to heal all my diseases all the time? No. But He wants a multitude of diseases to be healed in you as a testimony of His Spirit at work in you. Do you believe that? I believe that. I could spend the rest of the day telling you what God has done in my life to touch me physically and to bring healing. Of all the diseases? Well, I don't know. Let's see. Mumps, measles, chicken pox, hernia, appendicitis, mononucleosis. You just go through all the diseases. God raises you up. But many times God heals you miraculously by His Holy Spirit. The problem is many of us never seek the Lord for that. We don't ask Him and therefore we don't receive. There is a woman that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she had what was called an issue of blood. She had a hemorrhage that wouldn't go away. And she came and heard Jesus preaching and said, if I could just get near Him, I know that if I touch Him, I will be healed. And so she struggled through the crowd. And the Scripture says in Luke, she spent everything she had on doctors and on medicines. Does anybody identify with that? She ran out of health insurance. And she was just at her wit's end. She said, but if I can get through the crowd, if I could just get near Him and touch Him, I will be healed. And so she struggled through that crowd. She pushed through. She was not a strong lady. She was a weak lady. But she got through the crowd. She wrestled to the front. And probably in the midst of all of those struggling people, people pushing her down and keeping her away, she reached out with her last ounce of strength and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. In that moment, the Spirit of God came into her and she realized, I've been healed. That quickly. And Jesus knew it. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, get out of here. Everybody's touching you. I mean, people are massing around you. Everybody's clawing on you and wanting a piece of your clothes. And he said, no, somebody really touched me. And the woman said, I'm sorry. It was me. And Jesus said, don't be sorry. Your faith healed you as you reached out to touch me. The Spirit of God flowed through Jesus to her to give her life. And she was healed from that moment. You see, the Spirit of God is urging us and hovering over us and wanting to draw us near so that we would come and touch Him. In three areas, the Spirit of God wants to quicken or make us alive. Spiritually, if you don't know Jesus Christ, Jesus is urging you to come to Jesus as your Savior, to receive Him, to ask His forgiveness of sins, that you might have everlasting life. If you haven't done that, you need to do that this morning. Somebody in the first service responded at the altar after the service and said, I want to do that. I want to receive Christ. You're waiting. He's waiting for you. Second one, wrong slide. Next. Next. Let's get to the third, last slide there. Spiritually, physically, He wants to touch you. If you're worn out, your body's being afflicted, the Lord has provided for you. Is He going to heal you all the time? No, but He wants the opportunity that you would reach out and touch Him. And then finally, emotionally, when you're drained, when you have no more life in your batteries and you feel like you're exhausted and spiritually everything is just going weaker and weaker, the Lord wants to refresh you with times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There's a wonderful old song that was written by the Gaithers back in 1963. It's called He Touched Me. I just want to read the words of that because it's a hope and a promise for each one of us. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and I am no longer the same. Has Jesus touched you? And have you longed after Him and touched the hem of His garment? He's waiting for you. Let's pray. Spirit of God, right now there is a hindrance against you and what you want to do in some hearts and lives here this morning. It's hot in here and it's uncomfortable. And I ask, Spirit of God, that you would breathe upon us with new life. For those that have never known life in Christ, that they would receive Him as their Savior and forgiveness of sins, that they would know that their sins are washed away, not because they did something, but because Jesus did it all. And there are people that are spiritually worn out, Lord. Their batteries are dying. And they need a touch from you, and I pray for them this morning that you would touch them once again. Renew them in the middle of the years. And then there are people that are facing physical difficulties, and Lord, some of them you're calling to yourself for healing. And I pray that they will listen to your Holy Spirit and respond to you. In a moment, we're going to serve the Lord's table as the ushers prepare themselves right now. We're going to serve, first of all, the bread that represents the body of Christ. And that body was broken for you. He was bruised for your iniquities. He was chastised for your peace. And as we take that bread, it represents His body. And in our hands, we say, Lord, You are life. And You came to give me life. And as we partake that together, we want to pray and say, Lord, give me life. Lord, renew me, heal me, touch me. Touch me once again. And then we take the cup that represents the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed for all of your sins, not part of them, all of them. The sins that you can never remove in 1,000 years, He removed by simply pouring out His blood on your behalf. And we take that cup to remember that and ask His cleansing again. And with that cleansing comes renewal, that every obstacle, every hindrance is out of His way. So we approach the Lord's table, and before we serve these elements, the bread and the wine, perhaps you need to make a response to God right now. And I want to ask you to do this. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you realize that you're dead in your trespasses and your sins, if you're on your way to hell and you need a Savior, would you right now pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to You. I am lifeless without You. I am on my way to hell. I'm doing what the devil wants, and I want to do what You want. Forgive me my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Breathe into me the breath of life. Come into me, Lord Jesus, and save me for Jesus' sake. Pray that prayer right now. Ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior, and He'll do it. If you're worn out spiritually, do the same thing. Pray and ask the Lord, renew me, Lord. Refill me, touch me in Jesus' name. If you need healing, do the same. Pray and ask the Lord. Tap in to His provision in this new covenant, and He will do that. When the service is finished this morning, we want to invite you to come. If you need to be anointed and prayed for, we're going to do that this morning after the service. We're going to do it tonight at 6:30. But you come, like the woman with the issue of blood, with the woman with the infirmity. She had to come and touch Him. And as she touched Him, He touched her. May the Lord bless you as you partake of the Lord's table this morning with us. We'll serve first of all the bread.